Tango Tango Papa 2114, May 20th, 2022.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you. I guess it's this evening, early this evening, from Amarillo, Texas. So right now I am on my way to deliver a load I picked up in Sikeston. Did I pick it up in Sikeston? Yeah, no. Where did I pick the load up at? No, it wasn't Sikeston. It was Covington, Tennessee. Covington, Tennessee is not that far from Sikeston, but Sikeston, Missouri. But no, it's Covington, Tennessee. And I had this load of ice cream, a whole truckload of ice cream, going to Henderson, Nevada. So load of type 2 diabetes for somebody, because I won't eat it. But anyway, I'm on my way. Henderson is a suburb of Las Vegas, and so on my way there. So it the weather has not that bad, I think. I don't know. Once I got into Oklahoma, it's been sunny all day, but then the wind was sort of blowing. I spent the night at Russellville, Arkansas, and so once I got into Oklahoma, before I got to Oklahoma City, it started, it was more windy, and then that temperature-wise, I think, was... when I stopped here in Amarillo, it was like 70, probably upper 70s. And that was about, I got here around 3 o'clock this afternoon, something like that. So I'm taking my break here, and, so I'm on my way, like I say, I'm on my way to the Las Vegas area, and it's a drop and hook on that end, actually on both ends. And I don't know yet, they haven't sent any load yet, so that should be coming pretty soon. Of course, today's Friday, so a lot of times it might be on the, like the day before or something, they'll send a load. Or if they have, something pops up that looks like it'll work, then they'll go ahead and send it. So that really can happen at any time. But, the load, so today's the 20th, and I think the load is supposed, let me look, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be there on the 23rd, if I'm thinking correctly. It's always a good idea to look. Let's go through all these messages. They add up. Let's see. 23rd, yeah, so anytime on the 23rd. So today's the 20th. Of course, I have kind of constraints with my hours of service, so I could probably have it there on the 22nd, but if I had plenty of hours, I could easily do that, because I think right now I'm 800 and, the GPS says 851 approximately, so could easily be done if I have the hours. But it's might as well, it's more a little bit more relaxed, because they have to work within the constraints of the hours of service. And so there's no point in me, really trying to push it. So, because there's plenty of loads where, it'll end up kind of being on the, kind of pushing it to the limits or close to the limits. Sometimes there are loads like that, and then, once I kind of get into the constraints of the hours of service, like 70 hours in 8 days, and that's always rolling from day to day. Once I get into that, then they have to kind of back it off a little bit to, usually in order to make it fit. So in any case, seems like the world's still going to hell in a handbasket. So that hasn't seemed to change much. Kind of seems to be getting worse and worse. Now, I really don't pay a whole lot, I'm not paying much attention to the news. And, I'm just as happy as can be. But at the same time, we do live in a kind of a dangerous world. And we do have to be concerned with mass hysteria. And, the problem, if there are too many people that are too suggestible, then it becomes easy to induce mass hysteria. Mass hysteria is the more suggestible people are, the more more easily that mass hysteria can kind of be induced. And the other problem is you have a lot of people that are just sort of walking through their existence in a kind of a zombie-like state, the zombie movies are of course that's an exaggeration, but the reason that it works is because it's sort of in a way you can kind of think that of course that's an exaggeration, where you have these rotting people that you can't kill, trying to kill the people that are alive. Well, in a sense, while you don't really have that literally going on, in a sense, it does happen. But the thing is that the zombies don't realize that they're zombies. They don't realize that they can't think for themselves. They don't realize that they're not seeing the proper view of the world. They're not, and they can't function properly in the world. But right now, if you, there's little hints about it here and there, but, energy prices are on the way up, and I know there are people that think, the rich are trying to, make up for what the money that they lost with Trump or whatever. Maybe that is, maybe it isn't, but there are some real problems that are happening, and some of it I don't know if it's if it's deliberate or if it's just incompetent leadership or both, maybe a mix of both. But you had this didn't just happen, it's just it's been going on for some time. But with the stupid lockdowns, which I think that was a terrible mistake, for them to have the virus, you know, after the virus came in and all these stupid lockdowns, that was a big mistake. And you can't just switch, you know, you can't just switch the economy off or parts of the economy off, particularly if you've got, if everything is just in time, and everything works on just in time pretty much anymore. You know, so it has to just get there right at the time you need it. And so there's all these different chains. So when you go to the, you go to the grocery, you go, let's say you go to the grocery store or you go to whatever, and groceries or energy in particular, or, you know, like gasoline is another example. You put gas in your vehicle and you know, it's there when you want it. Somehow it's magically just there when you want it. Well, it went through all kinds of steps in order to get there. And it arrived just in time, just when you needed it. So if you switch off parts of the economy, you know, and then all of a sudden, then there's all kinds of problems that, you know, and so then they have to adjust, you know, try to adjust the systems, and then you try to switch it back on, and then you throw in, you know, these boycotts of Russia, you know, where that all of a sudden there's not enough, you know, they're not using the energy from Russia, and so here we are, you know, we, in the United States, you know, of course, the first thing Biden did when he got in there was, you know, destroyed the U.S. energy independence, and then, you know, we don't have enough refineries, refinery capacity to begin with and for our own needs. And then all of, you know, now they're trying to also supply Europe because Europe's trying to, you know, they're boycotting the Russian energy. And so, you know, of course, then the other problem is fertilizer. Not enough fertilizer. And that's been going on for some time, and but, you know, so the fertilizer isn't getting used in the industrial farming, and so they're talking about, and they're using the word apocalyptic food price increases and shortages. And there are already food riots going on in countries like Sri Lanka. You know, so I really do expect that, you know, there's the energy prices. We're probably going to end up with, you know, $10 diesel. You may think, well, I don't use diesel. Well, the hell you don't. The only reason you exist and the only reason I exist is because of diesel. Diesel powers the economy. How do you think the stuff magically gets to your grocery store? You know, how do you, you know, people have no clue. They think it's just, well, somehow it's just there. How does stuff get farmed? It all runs on diesel. That's a key commodity. That's the key thing. Double the price of it and see what happens. Or maybe it's going to be more than $10. It's already in a lot of, you know, it's already in some states it's over $6. So it could easily end up being $10 because it's pushing, you know, it's $5 and something in you know, normal places. So, you know, it's, I expect it to double. I expect food prices to probably double. You know, I'm already, you know, for some time now, I'm spending upwards of $50 a day to eat twice in a truck stop, in a restaurant. Now, of course, part of that is because I'm, you know, I'm eating the low-carb stuff. So I'm eating lots of, you know, any kind of meat, salad, and vegetables. And the meat, you know, if you order, you know, something with like steak or even fish, it's, you know, the price goes up versus some of the stuff you order, you know, they throw in all these crappy carbohydrates. that are cheaper, or they've been cheaper, they're going to go up too. You know, because if the harvest, the wheat harvests and the vegetable harvests go down because of the lack of fertilizer, which that's going to happen. You know, it's already kind of baked into the equation because the fertilizer, there's already been fertilizer shortages that are sort of already baked into the equation that they can't do anything about now. And so the harvests will be a lot short. They're going to come up short. That's already baked into the equation. So, I really wouldn't be surprised if the food prices double. You know, so I fully expect that it, you know, at some point, probably in the not too distant future, I wouldn't be surprised if I go into Denny's and it's costing me $50 to eat. Just one meal. Typically right now, it, depending on what I order, it can be 20, you know, with the tip, it's like 20-something. And if I go in other kind of restaurants, like the Iron Skillet at the Petro truck stops, that's upwards of 30-something, depending on what I order with the tip. So that could easily end up rising. Yeah, I can see that end up easily going to 50. 50 bucks a pop. $100 a day. Now, fortunately, I can afford that. You know, I can afford it. I'm in a position where I can afford it. But you know, I can imagine people with kids and what have you. That's a different story. There, you know, there's a lot of people in a big world of hurt, and of course they've got the debt and what have you. And debt's a killer. I know there are people that argue, oh, well, you want to have debt, and then you pay it back with inflated dollars. Well, you got your chance. Here it is. See if you like the inflation. You know, that's what they always say, to, you know, kind of justify the debt, having debt. You know, I've had debt, you know, much better off being without it. Much better off being debt free. Because there really is a kind of a freedom that I have. I can do whatever I want within certain limits. But, having, you know, just minimal bills and no debt to pay back is it's a completely different feeling as opposed to being, you know, kind of enslaved, you know, because the lender really is the slave master. The debtor is a slave to the lender. But they've printed so much money, you know, and they're really now, they're out, you know, we're coming to the end, you know, because they've kicked the can down the road by printing money, you know, periodically they would print money and kind of kick the can down the road, but they're to the point now where if they try to rein the thing back in, then that's going to really crash the economy, but it's going to crash the economy eventually if they keep printing money. That's a crash too. Now, they're probably, given the choice, they're probably going to keep printing money. And we could, you know, it's possible we could end up in some sort of a hyperinflation. Because the inflation is already much higher than what they say the official rate is, because they always try to make that look as good as they possibly can by massaging it in weird ways. So, But I don't know. I think there's going to be a probably people in a big world hurt. You know, and there may be the other thing, you know, you may end up with, especially in cities, you may end up with people panicking. You know, because all of a sudden something happens and, you know, you think, well, like the toilet paper thing, you know, where all of a sudden they just went nuts buying toilet paper. You know, or back, you know, like the 9/11, you know, whenever 9/11 happened, people went nuts trying to buy gasoline. You had these big long lines of people wanting to buy gasoline. It was kind of crazy. You know, so who knows how it's going to play out. You know, it's hard to say. But, you know, and probably, you know, if you haven't prepared by now, then, you know, it's probably, at this point, it's a little too late. But fortunately, you know, I've been out of debt now for some time, and, you know, it's really a great thing to be able to, you know, have full access to my income and not have to be paying debt back. But, you know, the thing is, you know, it's like I've always said, you want to to the best of your ability, you want to surround yourself by like-minded people. And, you know, some cities, you know, if you had any sense, you'd get the hell out, you know, but, a lot of people don't, and I guess they just think things are just gonna just plod along the way they always have, but, you know, they're living in a dream world. Because you can't, you know, you can't do all of these stupid things and, you know, vote for the wrong people and do all these stupid things and then expect that everything's going to be just fine. Because the real world doesn't work that way. There's, you know, lots of people living in a dream world. And they have been for a long time. And, you know, but reality, sometimes reality comes along and just, you know, can hit you upside the head like a 2x4. And, you know, it's not a very pleasant thing. So, but it's probably a necessary, it seems to be a necessary thing. You know, and it's really, you know, whenever that happens, however it happens, whenever that happens, it's actually a wonderful opportunity because, you know, you find yourself in a gutter, either literally or figuratively. You've got a wonderful opportunity to begin to think rationally. You know, so I have to see how it goes, but it's not going well for a lot of people, and I guess the stock market's been falling lately. I really haven't paid a whole lot of attention to it, and I know that there's been with all these cryptocurrencies, there's been a big wipeouts with that. I've never, you know, spent a dime on anything like that, and I've never really had that much interest in it. You know, it's really, I don't know, people thinking they're going to get something for nothing. I think that's been the appeal of it, is to get something for nothing. And, of course, that's always the appeal for, you know, people have this idea they're going to get something for nothing in a myriad of different ways. And that's one of the one of the problems with people is that, you know, that kind of lack moral understanding. You know, why do we need morals? You know, there is a benefit to having them, obviously. If you have any sense, then you can see that morals are really a useful thing. But if you're immature and you've been, you know, kind of don't have any morals or moral understanding, why you need morals, why you want to have them, then you think you can get something for nothing. You know, and you really can't. The world doesn't work that way. So, anyway, we'll just have to, you know, go along day to day, and people, you know, I think people are just going to have to adjust. You know, so I would, avoid cities if possible. Certainly living in them. Now I have to deliver to them sometimes, and if it gets bad enough, then you know, if I consider it to be too dangerous, and I'm just gonna, you know, I'll stop going. You know, in Venezuela, where they've had hyperinflation for some time, you know, some of the videos coming out of there resemble Mad Max. You remember the Mad Max movie, where you have motorcycles attacking trucks, trying to unload the cargo. You know, and if that ever happens, you know, in the United States, that's the end. I'm not gonna subject myself to that. But I really don't see that happening much in more rural areas, rural states. I think the biggest danger would be like the larger cities. You know, so. But if it gets bad enough, then I just stop. You know. But so far, you know, it's just higher prices, and I think probably people are just going to have to adjust to the higher prices. You know, you're just going to have to sort of, life goes on, and so you just have to kind of adjust to whatever the condition is. Adapt to survive. So, anyway, I've got a file from Joel. He sent this, I guess it's been several days ago. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. This is Joel McLaughlin here. I was listening to your last. When you talk about, you know, succumbing to the salesperson at your house, or I assume probably was a realtor, maybe a salesperson, I don't know. But, and you felt sorry for yourself that, you know, that you changed your mind. And I don't think that's anything to be sorry for, and I'll tell you why. We had a house, and it wasn't, I mean, it needed work, you know, our old house needed work. And my wife said, well, I want to sell the house. So, and I prayed, thought about it for a while, and I said, sure. I didn't really want to necessarily, because that meant a lot of physical work. But, so we sold the house, bought the new one, and we actually did that really close together, and we had to move not once, not twice, but three times. And it was painful, a little bit painful, a little bit, you know, financially painful too. But since I moved here to the new house, I've got a promotion. We've done a lot of things to make things look like we want after we moved in. We didn't really modify the house much, but it's just things like furniture and decorations and stuff like that. Stuff we never hadn't done in years at the old place. But ultimately, I am happier here for multiple reasons. One, I know for the next 4 to 5 years, other than just servicing things, we're not going to have a lot of things that are going to go wrong. Things are going to be working well. I don't have to mow grass in a new place because it's part of something I really didn't want to join, but I had to because of this house. And that was a, they did a, there's an HOA, but they take care of the grass, the snow removal, and things like that. The only thing that we have to take care of snow removal wise, I think, is might be our driveways and walks. I think the rest of the sidewalks and stuff are usually done by the HOA. But it really worked out, and I've been so blessed by doing this move. I'm closer to my friends from and past friends from my church that still live in the area, but they just moved on to other churches. And I've haven't had anyone over yet except for family yet, but eventually we will. But you know, and it's gonna, it ultimately is a good thing because I'm getting older. I'm 51, and you know, I can't do a lot of the things I used to be able to do. Now some of that I'm gonna try and work on, you know, but ultimately it was the best move for us. So we got more room, and we've got a lot of things are just ended up better. It's a little bit more expensive to live where we are, but it's fine. So salesperson didn't really change my mind that much. My wife did, you know, and I just take that on as I am a man of faith, that when I change my mind about something, be it, you know, no matter who it is that gets me to change my mind, I have to look at, well, what's God doing in that person's life? What's God doing in my life? Am I listening to him? Ultimately, that's who I want to listen to, not myself. So you might say that's just passing it off on God. But I do ultimately think he's has a hand in my life, because I've seen it many times. So, and that, another good example of that is my church. Yeah, up until 2-3 years ago, we had the same pastor for a while. All right. And then we merged with this other church. And then my pastor, that had been my pastor for over 10 years, has decided he's being called to another church. So he went to that church. And then, not that much longer later, the pastor that we did have said the same thing. And in both cases, I really wanted to go, you know, my human thing wanted to go and serve with either of those pastors. When each one of them left, they left it, you know, it was like a year apart between when they left. Okay. But we're on the brink of yet another pastor, which I think this one may last a little longer. We will see. But I'm feeling blessed that I'm here for this change as well. I went from where the church, I go to the same, it's the same building. Very much different church, because we've definitely changed through the merger. But, and in each case, I asked, when I prayed, I ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to stay here? Or do you want me to go with Pastor Phil or Pastor Farron when each one of those guys left? And all Aunt Melanie said, you're home. And that's really what he said. He said, you're home. This is where you're needed. And as time has gone on since the last one, which happened back in like October, I think it was October, might have been before that, but I've seen his hand in the moving of things at my church. I've been doing a lot, and I don't, you know, I don't, I got to be really careful because I have this kind of addictive thing, maybe. I don't know if it's addictive, but I tend to get addicted to saying yes to do things for the church. You know, but ultimately, after serving God first, my wife second, the church really comes third. And all I have to do is listen to God via that still small voice in my soul. He's talking to me. I just have to listen.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. Maybe I didn't express myself well. I wouldn't say that I felt sorry for myself. That, you know, the salesman kind of, you know, caused me to change my mind. You know, and in fact, you know, I like the house that I have. It turned out to be it's turned out great. That's not the issue. What I noticed and what I had a hard time admitting to myself was that I changed my mind as a result of the pressure that the salesman was applying. It wasn't, I didn't change my mind because I was sitting quietly and asking, you know, should I do it or should I not do it? Which house should I buy? It was a result of the salesman applying the salesman pressure. And it was a salesman because it was a mobile home. It was in a mobile home lot, and they have salesmen just like car salesmen. So, people that have never bought mobile homes may not realize that, but they have actual salesmen, and they're sort of like, they're very much akin to car salesmen. So, maybe there's some differences, obviously, but same kind of thing goes on. I think the car salesman thing's probably a little bit more elaborate and more well-developed, but it's the same idea. It would be like going in, you know, you go into an RV place to buy a, you know, like a check out travel trailers or whatever, and it's a similar thing. You're going to have salespeople. You're going to have different salespeople, and they've got finances and the whole thing. So, it's that type of thing. And so this guy was really applying the pressure, and all of a sudden I flip-flopped. Now, I wasn't feeling sorry for myself. The point that I wanted to make was that I had a hard time admitting after the fact. It took me a long time to even in my own mind to admit to myself that I made the, you know, all of a sudden I changed my mind based on the pressure. And it wasn't because I decided I liked the house more or whatever. It was based on the pressure. So that was an important thing for me to be able to admit that, you know. And of course it worked out fine. I, you know, the house is the house, and it's, I've had it now since 1995. You know, it's been paid for, you know, some time now. You know, I own the land. You know, it's a 2,000 square foot house. You know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's all, that all worked out well. You know, and it's the thing, you know, it's pretty well built. You know, considering it's a, you know, like a double wide mobile home. It's got 2x8 the studs in the floor, and then 2x6 walls, exterior walls, and extra insulation and the whole thing. So it's actually quite well built. So that worked out pretty well. It actually worked out well, but overall, I am glad that I have this house. I'm glad that I ended up with the one that I did. But the lesson that I learned was about, salesmen. And it doesn't have to, just anyone applying pressure. And so any time that anyone really applies pressure, that's the time for me to become that much more calm. And, so the idea is if you can tell somebody's applying pressure to you, whoever it is, and they really, trying to apply as much pressure as they can, that's the time to become that much more calm, that much more reasonable, and then whenever you feel the pressure go away, then you can simply know what to do. And maybe you should, even though they're applying pressure, maybe you should do whatever they're trying to get you to do. But then again, maybe you shouldn't. Now that's the thing with this, this vaccine thing. All this pressure that they've tried to, you have to do it. The hell I do. No, I don't. Haven't done it. It's been more than 2 years now. Maybe I've just been lucky. I've been out and about. I wasn't hunkered down and, locked away in a house anywhere. I've been out and about the entire time. And, anytime someone's applying for, they tell you, you have to do something, you have to do this, you have to do that, they're really applying the pressure. And of course, in the case of the vaccine thing, it's been social pressure. Sorry, not going to do it. Not going to do it. And it has nothing to do with Republican or, versus Democrat or anything else. And I know some people think that, that they automatically think that. It's some sort of badge of honor not to do it. In my case, my gut is saying don't do it. So I haven't. I've learned that if I end up kind of, you can call it a gut instinct, you can call it a still small voice. But I've learned over a long period of time, I've learned that the more calm that I am, if I feel like I'm under pressure to do something, just to, be as calm as possible, and I will know what to do. And it usually turns out to be the right thing. Another time that it turned out to be a really right thing was, it's been 20 years ago, about 20 years ago, when I was working at that eye clinic, as a computer network administrator in a large eye clinic practice. I had always wanted to work. I thought it would be such a great idea to work with computers. And, lo and behold, the opportunity presented itself. And so I'm glad that it did. But after a period of time, I realized that I just did not like it. And it wasn't, it wasn't necessarily the computer so much as the, kind of working in the organization, because a lot of those people, you had all of these office politics were going on, and these people were at each other's throats. And, I knew at the time, and of course I was just, they had all the cakes and cookies and candies, and I was just gobbling it up, and my weight was up as high as it's ever been. It was up to 225. And I knew that you know, if I stayed and if I, you know, kept staying with that, that I was headed for problems. So the gut said, go back to truck driving. And so I did. And I haven't looked back. So that turned out to be a great move. And I'm glad that I'm actually glad that I had the opportunity to do it, to try that, you know, try working as a network administrator. Glad that I had the opportunity to do it. They were sorry to see me go. But it turned out that, you know, that was the right decision to make. It was the right thing for me to do. So I've learned over time, you know, to follow whatever that, you know, whatever my, you know, you can call it a gut instinct or still small voice. I've learned to listen to that. Because it usually, if you really listen to it, it will, and you follow it, it will work out. You know, but that's been my experience. Now, of course, it's possible that, you know, somebody listening to this, it's just words to them, and they think, well, he's just been, you know, it's just lucky or whatever. Okay, whatever. You know, you can't get inside my head, and I can't get inside other people's heads to, you know, kind of know what goes on. But I do know that people are ideologically possessed. You know, and I know I have been in the past, and I'm probably in some ways I still am. You know. But the thing is, if you learn how to, there's a line in the Bible, be still and know that I am God. And if you can really do that, if you can actually do that, that makes all the difference. Because if you can really learn how to be still in the right way, then the thing is, the conditioning and the pressure and even the ideological possession has a tendency to wear off. Because, you know, the thing that reinforces suggestion, the thing that reinforces it is, you know, you get excited, excitability, and you've got these things irritating you, distracting you. And, of course, we distract ourselves. We learn to distract ourselves. People often wonder, well, what, you know, nature versus nurture. You know, how much is nature, how much is nurture? You know, or we're born into whatever culture, whatever country, whatever culture we're born into, with whatever parents we have. You know, and we have very little to say about that, whatever we're born into. So we're going to be, to a large extent, we're going to be the product of our culture and the people that are parents. So at some point, we, you know, the idea is you have to become mature. Just realize this is what I was born into. This is the situation I was born into. How do I reasonably deal with it? What should I do? Where should I direct my attention? And of course you should direct your attention to being still and be still and know. And to a large extent, you know, you can't do that all the time, but you know, do that on a regular basis. And that makes, really, it's, you know, it ends up kind of being a progressive thing. And you progressively, the more you do it, the less vulnerable you are to suggestibility. You know, of course, it may be painful. As, you know, often I think it is painful. It was painful for me to realize that the times where I've had to realize that I was acting out of suggestibility, or the power of just something, you know, suggestions. That's always been painful. It's always been a painful thing. But it's useful. It's been very useful to be able to realize that. Because then, you know, as things go on, and, you know, I realize, you know, realized in the past and learned these lessons, it's enabled me to avoid a lot of trouble. Just basically be able to sidestep things. Sidestep all kinds of potential drama. You know, going back to what I was talking about before, I think that is really useful. And of course, the more suggestible people become in general, you know, as the, you know, because there's several things that, you know, there's several different things that are, you know, we're really headed towards, you know, cause, different kinds of so-called meltdowns or disasters. You know, and we do rely on other people. But if you know what, you know, you can listen to that still small voice, you really will be guided in the right directions. I really do believe that. So that's really where you have to place your faith, is in the still small voice. That really is the ultimate way to survive, is, you know, to survive whatever it is, whatever, you know, you can say fate has in store. Learn to listen to that still small voice. So, anyway, how long I've been going? Yeah, probably pushing an hour or so here. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off and see if I can get it uploaded and then be heading to bed here after a while. Anyhow, hope everyone has had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.